Then yesterday morning, a large squadron of German planes attacked another convoy. According to German reports, a total of 55,000 tons of enemy shipping went to the bottom of the English Channel. And in this particular battle, 5 British pursuit ships were shot down out of the sky, while 1 German plane is missing. All during yesterday, the air battles, or dogfights, continued over the Channel. Messerschmitts versus Spitfires and other British fighting planes. And when the day closed, 29 other British planes were put out of action, and only 2 German planes lost. That was the report that the German High Command put out last night. In any event, today's fierce activity lifted it out of the ordinary routine of reconnaissance flights and isolated bombings by relatively small squadrons. And we may look for more of this intensified aerial and surface naval warfare in the near future. The question of food imports for the European countries, both neutral and the occupied nation, seems to be becoming more of a diplomatic battle between Germany and England. And Germany promptly lays the blame on the British blockade. Here's what the British German shortwave news broadcast had to say this morning. Quote, Britain's intransigence in the question of passing through their blockade the food transports of the American Red Cross has created a most unfortunate impression in the United States. The painful effect of the British attitude has only been sharpened since the British propaganda argument that all such charity on the part of the United States could not help but be of use to Germany in the long run has been consistently refuted by the highest American authorities, end of quote. And last night, in both press and radio reports, the Germans make their viewpoint clear. They expect that Britain has a responsibility to see that her former allies, Belgium, Holland, France, and Norway, have food to last out the coming winter. And this means, for instance, that the British blockade must be lifted to allow imports of food from the United States and South America, according to the German attitude. As for the food situation here, well, the Bulletin Zeitung this morning reports on its financial page that quantities of corn, potatoes, fruits, and vegetables coming into Germany are larger now than they were in times of peace. For instance, in the Berlin paper this morning, there's a picture of tomatoes being loaded on a French ship at Guernsey from the English Channel Islands to be brought to Germany. And then the other day, my hotel porter handed me an envelope with some extra butter for this dinner. That is your increased ration, he told me. This is new visible evidence of the victory spoils to the average German citizen in this 11 months war. This extra butter either comes from Denmark, the Low Countries, or France. As for France itself, there is a statement in the Bulletin des Actes that there will be no starvation or shortage in some food items, such as butter. It points out there are approximately 6 million refugees in the unoccupied part of France. And normally, this area supports 14 million French people. The paper goes on to say, quote, the financial needs of France are very great. That is the problem that will have to be solved by the Vichy government. End of quote. This is Edwin Hartwich, a returning out of Columbia, New York.
This is New York. Here's the bulletin from Berlin. The German High Command asserted today that the German Air Force sank or severely damaged a total of 28 British ships in attacks yesterday. Rome, a High Command communique said today that 16 Italian fighter planes had shot down 5 of a fleet of 27 British fighter planes with the loss of 2 of their own number in an air battle over the Libyan-Egyptian frontier. Now back to Europe for more news. News reported from the British capital by Columbia's correspondent. Go ahead, London. This is Columbia in New York calling Columbia's correspondent in London. Go ahead, London. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we had hoped to report from London. Up to this moment, however, we have been unable to contact our correspondent there. Albert Warner, however, is standing by in our nation's capital to give you the latest news reports from that point. We take you now to Washington.
These events in Europe continue to bring their repercussions in the United States. The triumph of force abroad creates the need for protective force here. And so, historic debate opens in the Senate today on how to achieve that force. the conscription bill is up for action, a bill that would make peacetime history in the United States. Already a $10 billion spending program for armaments has been voted. Now comes the problem of manpower. The advocates of the bill, led by Senator Burke, insist that selective service is the fair democratic approach to getting the men. There is a question also whether voluntary enlistments will produce an army proportionate to the size of the orders for military machines and to the size of the task of defending the Western Hemisphere. But the opposition feels that conscription threatens traditional American freedom. Some are afraid the country is being swept by hysteria. Some think that voluntary enlistments will supply a big enough army. Now, right at the beginning of this debate, which may last for 2 weeks, many on both sides of the issue are taking it for granted that some kind of a conscription bill will be passed at the end. The principal issue will rise on amending the present measure. There, the chief voting issue will be the amendment proposed by a shrewd Democrat from Connecticut, Senator Maloney. Senator Maloney proposes that no one be drafted until it is seen whether a call for voluntary enlistments will yield 400,000 more men before January 1st. The draft setup would be established, but no one could be called during this test period. If there were enough enlistments, the draft would be postponed indefinitely. To encourage voluntary entry into the Army, the Senator proposes to cut the enlistment term to 1 year and raise the basic pay of soldiers from $21 to $30 a month. There will be strong support for that amendment. Here the fight will center. Even if it should happen to be adopted, it still writes into law, on an alternative basis, the principle of universal service, ready for use when needed. There's been so much attention to military service that the proposed program of industrial defense training for young people has almost been lost from sight. I understand that a complete, definite program for expanding the training given in the CCC camps has been pending for at least 6 weeks, and no action has been taken on it, one way or another, by planners in the defense set up here. This program would turn out motor vehicle operators, cooks and bakers, first aid men, medical orderlies, airplane mechanics, welders, construction men for roads, bridges, and telephone lines, map makers, and radio communication men. The program, for example, would produce 10,000 motor vehicle maintenance men every 6 months, 3,000 skilled motor mechanics, and 90,000 motor vehicle operators. All that is needed is an increase in training personnel and more equipment at the CCC camps. The groundwork is already laid in training at these camps, and its value has been demonstrated. But still, the go-ahead signal has not been received. Some of those engaged in planning youth training say there are just too many coordinators. A new plan for conducting the Democratic political campaign may be announced today. According to word coming from the inner council of the party, the country is to be divided into zones and a district manager for each area appointed. The decentralization program was worked out by the new Democratic chairman, Edward Flynn of New York, in a private meeting here yesterday. He met with Social Security Administrator Paul McNutt of Indiana, Senator Burns of South Carolina, Senator Romani of Wyoming, Representative McCormick of Massachusetts, and Leo Crowley of Wisconsin. It is understood that each of these men may become a district campaign manager if he will take the job. This bombing of Britain, the renewed bombing, the waves of bombing, lead the Pan-American Airways people to recall a cable they received recently from a London customer. Urgent, it said, have offer of 3 finest racing horses if I can remove immediately. Want space on next clipper from Lisbon. It was too much of a problem for the traffic managers of the airline. We return you now to New York.
That was Albert Warner bringing you the latest news from Washington. Here's the latest report from Tokyo. The Japan Rotary Club, with 47 affiliates in Japan and Manchukuo, has been under official surveillance since the arrest of numerous prominent Britons on suspicion of espionage. It was understood today. Usually well-informed quarters reported that the entire organization was likely to be drastically reorganized, if not dissolved, at its annual joint meeting August 14th. The newspaper Hoshi said that the Shizuoka branch of the club had voted its own dissolution yesterday in order to avoid suspicion that it was a hotbed of espionage. It includes some foreign businessmen of long residence in Japan. Hoshi said that Rotary headquarters here has been shocked by the club's dissolution. A man found loitering this morning in front of the residence of former finance minister Akita was arrested and found to be carrying a revolver. Akita, most influential in financial circles, is considered by right-wing elements to be pro-British. The right-wing East Asia Association presented resolutions to Prince Konoe, Premier, Foreign Minister Yosuke Matsuoka, General Aiki Toho, War Minister, and Admiral Zengo Yoshida, Navy Minister, today, demanding an immediate declaration of war against Britain. The demand was based on the retaliatory arrests of Japanese subjects in the British Empire. Yakushiro Suma, Chief Foreign Office spokesman, when asked by German correspondents at a press conference today when Japan would dispatch economic experts to the Netherlands East Indies and when Kuniaki Koiso, former overseas minister, would leave to be extraordinary envoy to them, said, "I have no intention at present to dispatch an economic mission. Koiso has not yet accepted the post offered him, so I am unaware of the date of his departure." Suma said there had been no developments in the dispute arising from the arrest in Japan of British subjects and the arrest in the British Empire of Japanese subjects, but said that Foreign Office dispatches from London indicated a marked improvement in the situation. He declined to comment on negotiations regarding Indochina, except to say that general negotiations were being conducted and that there was no time limit to Indochina's promise not to send goods to China. Japanese newspapers had reported that the promise expired Tuesday and that Japan had demanded its renewal. And from Cairo comes word that British fighter planes, outnumbered 2-1, have downed 15 Italian fighter planes in the biggest air battle of the Middle East, Royal Air Force Middle East Headquarters asserted today. Two British planes failed to return. Gloster Gladiator fighters, single-seat multi-gun biplanes, met the Italians in the neighborhood of Sidi Omar over the Italian-Libyan desert, a communique said. According to official estimates, the British victory brought the total of Italian planes downed in the Near East to 135 definitely, with 65 probably shot down. The Gladiators are compact biplanes. Models now possibly outdated had an admitted speed of 250 miles an hour. Two of their four machine guns are mounted in troughs in the sides of the fuselage, easily reached by the pilot, and two are mounted forward below the lower wing, one on either side of the fuselage and outside the propeller radius. On the other side of the battle in Rome, a high command communique said today that 16 Italian fighter planes had shot down five of a fleet of 27 British fighter planes with a loss of two of their own number in an air battle over the Libyan-Egyptian frontier. And with these news reports, Columbia concludes another broadcast of Worldwide Developments. You heard Edward Hartridge reporting from Berlin, Albert Warner from Washington. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.